I'm Welton Getty. My guest for the entire hour is Rachel Maddow, host of The Rachel Maddow Show on MSNBC. I'm curious as to how you see the nation. Did the nation fundamentally change after this election?
I think our politics changed a little bit. I mean, the Republican Party got a leader that doesn't make sense with its in light of its past and its professed ideals. So they have had to adjust themselves as a party. People who don't like the new president or don't like the direction that he represents for the country have discovered a new civic involvement, civic awareness, mm-hmm. civic engagement that is as profound, is potentially as profound a change in the public as Trump is a change to our politics.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a very big, powerful force. That's been really interesting to cover. And that was another one of these things where it didn't help to just sort of watch what the Beltway thought was important, because they were missing what was going on in, like, Idaho town halls that, you know, red state America and in the, when indivisible Ozarks formed, and all of a sudden Tom Cotton was having to answer questions in unexpected ways about Donald Trump's tax returns or Russia or whatever it was. It's sort of a, take the blinders off, eyes wide open moment, because a lot of unexpected stuff is happening and it's not always coming from the expected places.
Yeah. Has partisanship on steroids become a detriment to good government?
Yeah, but that's always been true. I think, I've focused a lot on the Russia story, on the Russia attack on our election and the question and the investigation into whether or not the Trump campaign was part of it, whether they were in on it, and therefore the presidency is, the product of a foreign intelligence operation. Mm-hmm. Right? And I've focused a lot on that, and some people have given me grief for focusing on that too much. But that, to me, is a different kind of scandal. Mm-hmm. And it's a different kind of political problem when it comes to partisanship, because we expect partisanship to gum up the works on all sorts of different kinds of policy disputes and ethics matters and even on questions of war and peace to a certain degree. But we do not expect partisanship to gum up the works when it comes to the idea of a foreign attack on our country.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there are very many elected officials in the country. I don't think there are many hardcore partisans in the country who will pick party over country if it comes to the worst case scenario and these revelations about the campaign. If it turns out that if the worst case scenario proves out, mm-hmm. I have faith that partisanship will crumble in the face of that national security emergency. Now, I may be proven wrong, but to me, that is going to be a test of whether we are dealing with a more virulent form of more virulent and evil form of partisanship than we've ever dealt with when dealing with other normal scandals and policy disputes.
Has your attentiveness to the Russian stories and all of the characters that have been players in that, has that caused you to miss any other critical issues?
Well, I mean, there's an opportunity cost to everything. Every time you cover one thing, it means you can't spend that time covering something else. But I don't feel like there's stuff I want to be covering that I don't have time to cover. I mean, I'm blessed. I have the best job on earth. I get paid to talk on TV about what I want to without editorial interference from anybody. Five nights a week, 50 weeks a year. And my editorial independence is something that I prize, and I don't have regrets about what we've chosen to focus on. I also think, once you decide you're not going to cover the White House's statements, that frees up a lot of airtime. And that was a weird decision.
Yeah,
I remember the first White House briefing of the new administration, watching the whole thing and being like, the White House briefing room has never been used like this before. Like, we've got Gerber.
Yeah.
And then to suddenly come to the realization that, I mean, after you cover the initial story that the president is saying things that are not true, The White House spokesman is saying stuff that is not true. The White House is putting out written statements that are not true. The White House is making available for live interview people who work at senior levels in the White House who will then, in live interviews, say things that are not true. They will not correct things when they are confronted about the fact that they are not true. Like, that was a big sort of what this administration is going to be like initial story. But at some point, that can't be the story of every day. You just have to absorb that information. All right, they're not telling the truth. And then you have to use that information. And once somebody has proven to you that they are not telling the truth, that they lie regularly and don't feel bad about it even when they're caught, that is freeing. Because that means you are excused from ever having to listen to that person ever again in terms of trying to get factual information. So much of the reporting model of how news is collected in this country, network news, cable news, all of it, print media, everything, is about getting factual information from public officials. And you can still do that from anonymous career public servants who can't give you their name because they'll be fired for speaking out. But you can't get factual information from named officials of the Trump administration. You really can't. And so don't try.
Waste your time.
And that that frees up. Once you stop covering what they say and just start covering what they do, you have more time to get to the good stuff.